This is episode 355 of the Gold Squadron Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Will, Dr. Juice Hegwood. I'm looking for that sister squeeze. And tonight I'm joined by Marcel, Total Eclipse of Manzano.
Ew, that's not what I wrote on there, but
that's what it says. I read it word for word.
Yeah.
We also have Ryan, nothing like WrestleMania season, Stan Zuski.
40th one. There's 40 of them now. And this was like probably the best. And in definite argument is one of the best ever.
What? Yeah. Well, you must be like 15 years old. Come on. Hulk Hogan against Ultimate Warrior.
I'm saying one of the best. Not no joke.
Top 40, at least.
I went to 23, which means I've at least seen 17 of these.
Yeah. We'll give you a top 30.
No. Talk to anyone who's a diehard wrestling fan who's seen them all. I'm pretty sure they put this one near the top.
Fair enough. We also have James, new hair, new me, Ritter.
I got the first haircut in almost 2.5 years, so feeling light for the summer.
Yeah. And our guest for this podcast, Jorge Nito Castaneda.
Hey, oh, guys.
Okay. Now, Ryan say it, now James say it. You all got the video.
No, I'm sure it'll come up. more on Jorge in a second, but there's somebody more important than you, Jorge. I must say, and it's our Patreons. You know what? This is what makes GSP what it is today. They're our largest group of supporters. If you like what GSP does, you can go to patreon.com/goldsquadron and you could support us there. You get shareable art from our past projects. Patreon only channels on our Discord, bunch more stuff, but you got to check it out. Again, patreon.com/goldsquadron. Now, with that out of the way, Jorge, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking.
Why is there a popcorn meme?
Popcorn meme.
I don't know. I didn't see that in the notes at first. Anyways, Jorge, you are a finalist at this year's World Championship at Adepticon. Very honored to have you join us. We want to talk about your list, your journey preparation for the event. But first off, we got to ask you two pressing questions. These are the gotcha ones. I need to know your favorite ship in Star Wars, and what's your lightsaber color?
Oh, perfect. So I would say that my favorite ship has to be the X-Wing Classic. Classic. The design is just amazing. Very close is the Y-Wing. I just love those really weird designs. I don't know. It just feels like really kind of cool ships. And for the lightsaber color, for me, is green. I just love the green. I love when Luke transitions from his blue to the green. It felt like, and with his black suit, it felt like amazing.
Awesome. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself? Where are you from? You were representing both America and Mexico and for the World Championship. We had the little flags on there. Can you explain that a little bit?
Sure. So I was born and raised in Mexico and lived most of my life there. And I got the opportunity to move here to Washington for a job opportunity that I'm still on it, which, I mean, I'm very fortunate for that. But I've been in the U.S. for like almost 5 years now. And here is where I actually started playing X-Wing. So when you guys asked me the question about the flags, it felt weird just to have the Mexican ones, since all the crew where I play and I have developed my skills is here. So that's why I wanted to have both of them, because I feel this U.S. is slowly becoming, you know, my home.
That's the Evergreen Squadron, is that right? Where's that out of?
Yes. No, it's Evergreen Squadron here in the Puget Sound area, Seattle, a little bit north, Everett, Lynwood, all those stuff, and a little below Tacoma, and even more guys. But yeah, like separate, we're very like 5-6 crew per shop, but together we're like 30-40 people, and it's awesome.
Cool. Well, can you first tell us what you flew at Worlds?
Absolutely. So I flew the Galactic Republic. It's a list that I like to call Clones Together Strong, because it's a list without a Jedi. It's only, those clones that are really, really powerful. So I flew mostly Thunder Lotus ships from Siege of Coruscant, basically all the three arcs, which is Jack, Wolf, and Oddball. Also two Taurens, Kickback and Axe, also from Siege of Coruscant. And my only normal pilot, it would be Boost with Predator for those rerolls on the Bullseye.
Cool. We wanted to ask you some questions about the list. Ryan, you had organized them. If you want to start at the top of that list.
Yeah, I mean, so one thing that I'm keenly aware of is because I faced you last year Worlds a couple times. Yeah, LCQ and the main event. You've been flying some iteration of this Republic list since before Worlds last year, right? So this is like... Is it fair to say that this has been your jam like this whole time in majority of the events you go to? Have you actually played any other archetype of list in a large event other than Sixth Republic?
Yes and no. I would count the Padme Anakin version as a kind of similar to the clone ones. But yeah, mainly has been Republic Born for This spam kind of list. For the Storm Champ season, I actually was playing Han. I was a Han believer. And then Fernando, the captain from Team Mexico, started contacting me about playing, and they assigned me Republic. So I was like, I should practice. And this was just after Paul Heber have won Lone Star, I think, with the Padme Anakin the triple arc list. And that felt like a good list, and to give it a shot. I have flown arc before, so I was comfortable with the chassis, and that's how I started. I think I played Golden State games with that. I didn't make the cut, unfortunately, but yeah, it's been a long time flying those arcs.
What drew you initially to enjoying the arcs and that list type so much, like a year plus ago?
So my first faction was Rebels. I mean, favorite ship, X-Wing, and almost a Y-Wing, so loved. I used to play a lot the synergy for ship lists like Dutch, Jake, and Garvin, and whatever other ship you have. So I love synergies between ships. I love the theme of you are very strong because you're working together. And that list, I mean, the Siege of Coruscant clones have that feeling of individually they can be torn apart really easy, but when they're like together in a block, it's something really scary and something that can help each other not only on offense but also on defense, which was something that not many archetypes in the game could do that well, at least not even Rebels could keep up with that kind of synergy. Now they do.
Yeah, for sure. And you talked about, some of the events you've been to throughout the year. So, like, as you played games with the Republic lists in whatever variations you tried throughout the qualifiers or XTC, any other large events you were taking part in, what were some of the notable things you learned along the way leading up to this Worlds?
I would say when I was flying the Padme Anakin list, I was noticing the reason I swept away from it was that whenever someone killed two arcs, my end game wasn't super strong. Like Padme on his own wants to go fast, but then you're trapped in the middle of everything. And then Anakin, my ace fly is probably really bad, so I wasn't making good use of Anakin. So from Golden State, I learned that maybe that list wasn't the best for me, and I was looking for something else. And then I was playing with the numbers on Jaspi, and it's like, oh, I mean, this fits. I tried the Y-Wings first, and...
Okay. Jorge, I know there's many different iterations of Six Ship Republic, and a lot of them vary their three-point selections. Most of the time, they stick with the triple arc, minor variations beyond that, but... What got you to your three-point pilot decisions?
So at first, I tried the Y-Wings, and they weren't working for me. I was not making very good use, and I was bombing myself. I was very messy. And then I decided to go in with the Torrents, give them a shot. And immediately, I felt the power, the difference. I felt really comfortable with them. I remember a game where I was making probably my first or second game with the list online. I was making a bunch of mistakes, bumping, overlapping rocks, and I was still able to be on top, which led me think is like, wow, if I actually spend time learning and adapting, this list seems pretty strong. And this was 2 weeks before the Vancouver Open. And that's when I brought the list, and I was able to win it. And that gave me like the confirmation that the list was good. And then the next big event was the XTC. And I brought the same list, and I was very happy with how it performed against really good list. I was very happy that it could go toe-to-toe against Resistance. That was very... That was a huge factor because I was able most of the games trade Jack for Pava without losing anything else. And that was huge because you don't only kill Pava, you kill all the synergies with the M98 and all that stuff. And I still had really good five ships left. So I was definitely going to win the damage race because of the fact that the Torrents have munitions, which is crazy. Something like the damage output from the Y-Wings cannot compare. I mean, the control aspect of them is amazing, but on raw damage, I think the Torrents just output their 3 points like a lot. I mean, it's a steal for 3 points what you can do with the Torrents. So I decided to go with that.
Not also the offense, right? Like being able to have that Born for this evade is pretty huge.
Yeah, absolutely. If you know you're not gonna shoot, just take the evade. And it's, yeah, for sure, it's really strong. And I believe I mentioned this, like, in the end game, if the Torrents are alive, two evades, being able to guarantee survival is everything. The fact that I don't even have to worry about what I roll on defense, it was really important most of my matches.
Yeah, for sure. How did you come to your obstacle choices on the list? I know there could be some varying decisions that people have made in the past with the arcs, whether they go smallest things possible or gas clouds because I can run over them without most issues. Or even I've heard people take larger stuff to funnel people into lanes, although I think that's a more rarity in this case.
Yeah. So at the beginning, I was sticking with the smallest rocks I could find. Basically the mustache and the two little ones. And that worked perfectly in LBO. I mean, in Vancouver and LBO, except in my last game against Doug Howe. And his obstacle placement was like amazing. In all of my matches, I never saw something like that. And that's after that game, I decided to revisit a little what to do against it, right? Because it was pop. I mean, the counter to arcs was pretty set up now that put rocks in the middle to obstruct their path. And during my test games with my crew, I decided we decided to give it a shot for the clouds, because the fact that you can just overlap them and take maybe an ion on a ship that really wants to go slow is not enough penalty to actually be detrimental to you in the long run. Except for Jack. Don't put Jack on. Don't strain Jack for no reason. But Wolf doesn't care. He doesn't care the locks. And Oddball doesn't really care either. Because if his ability triggers, he can just give the lock to someone else. He doesn't have to take it for himself. So I decided to go for clouds for Worlds and during my practice, and that worked perfectly. I was able to trick my opponent to say, I'm not going to go through this cloud, but I was totally going to. And that put me in like really good spots for the late game.
That's awesome to see that evolution, especially from like learning from, like you talked about the match with Doug Howe, and like giving you the ability to fly over them. Your opponent has to respect it. It's like if they don't respect it and you do it, then they're completely caught off guard. But if they overcompensate for it and they think too long and like try and do something crazy because they think you're doing something crazy, you just do the simple thing. It's like, well, then it just more decisions your opponent has to make, which is difficult. And leading up to Worlds, how did you feel about what you were expecting to see, your matchups?
Yes, I for a little detour, once Battle of Endor spoilers were revealed, I tested Rebels a lot for 2 weeks, like every day just playing. And I was almost going to switch to something, either B-Wings or Wedge Fenn Luke. So I expected, because of the Sith Open results, that there was going to be a lot of Rebels. And luckily, I played them a lot, so I felt comfortable with the matchup, except for one, which is the double Battle of Endor B-Wings and Luke. That combination of firepower just devours an arc every round. Basically, a couple times that I faced it against someone from my crew for practice, Jack was living on two hull with like two crits, and Oddball had to spend all his shields for him to just survive that engagement. It was brutal. So that was one of the matches where I was really scared. And luckily, I didn't face the Luke version. I faced the Wedge version, which is a little more lenient because Wedge does a lot of damage close, not far. So those jousts were not as terrible for me as oof, horrible. Double torpedo with Juke. And Braylon normally gets only the focus, but the fact that Jack is I3 makes Braylon take the lock without issues. And he has a double modded shot, and it's just a bad day for the arcs. For specifically for Jack, it's a really bad day. Even so, that I almost was tempting to swap one of the arcs for Anakin, Sock, to have the ability to ionize Jyna and say, you're just not going to shoot the torpedo. But in the end, I decided to stick with it and just be cognizant that if Oddball wasn't in that fight, Jack was dead that turn. I guess another matchups that I was expecting is a lot of Empire 2. I had a lot of practice against Jenden, so I was comfortable with that one. In my mind, it's like I have to kill Jenden, or like at least threaten so he runs away the whole game, because in the end game, he just kills stuff. If I have something living on 1-2 hole, Jenden will just kill it. And I saw that and it's like, no, I have to kill Jenden. And for the Rack matchup, also like the ability of the arcs to just say, I'm not going to be in the parking zone of the decimator. I can just turn away and still have a shot, was really, really strong. So I felt comfortable against Rack. I didn't feel comfortable against FO, but I was very lucky to not face a single FO in my whole Swiss, and I was really grateful. I was really scared of Silas and Kylo, mostly. And because I don't have answers to AC stuff, if I commit to Kylo and he's in a spot to double reposition out of my arcs, then I'm like, oops. So yeah, I mean, but mostly I felt like Republic had a good matchup against most lists, and very specific things I was a little afraid of, but didn't have to face them in the first place, which, again, very lucky on my side to don't have to face those matchups.
Yeah, I think as Marcel says, there's a part of a world's run as deep as this where luck does play, and sometimes it is matchup luck. Speaking of the world's run itself, kind of wanted to go through the matchups that you had and just quick hit, like, looking at them. When you first look across the table, how you felt before each of them, what do you felt like you had to lean on your advantages in the matchup, what disadvantage you might have saw right at the beginning, and what were the primary targets you wanted to get and you expected your opponent to want to get from you? Yeah, looks like your round one opponent was Brady McCoy flying Rebels. Looked like to be Luke or Wedge. I'm not sure what she has.
It was Wedge.
Like, oh, it was Wedge. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I can just scroll down. Yeah.
Yeah.
To yeah. Be the match Wedge, would be... Maul, and Keo. Yeah. In what scenario? I can actually look this up because we did Salvage.
Yeah, it was Salvage. So, not great by the fact that we had a lot of torps. We had two APTs and one proton torpedo. And I think Keo had either concussions or. I think it was concussions.
Yeah, with Keo marksmanship. Had concussion and vectored cannons and marksmanship.
Yeah. So the crit generator on that list was like really high. So I couldn't actually keep the box for long. And Keo was able to escape with one box. And in the damage race, I lost. Brady, really well found, shadows to him, was able to like almost kill Jack and then completely kill Oddball in the second engage. And then after that, I couldn't close it up. And he was able to just kill, I think he killed all the arcs and one torrent. So I was left with two ships and I didn't kill a single one. I'm lying. I killed Braylon and that was it. The beef that Rebel, like the B-Wings produce, is like really strong. The fact that they can evade and reroll the defense because of it's a trap, it just makes my shots that less powerful.
I believe it. I sent you what we're looking at, by the way. It's just the roll better link, but it breaks down all the lists as well. Mm-hmm. So starts off with a loss. Yeah. It's not a good day, or not a good way to start the day. It looked like you bounced back in your round two against a player named Talon Bane.
Yeah, he was flying Empire, if I remember. It was like Bombers, Vader, like Deathfire, Tomax. Mm-hmm. And I think he was one of the boys. Mauler, yeah. That one I felt strong. Yeah. Oh, Soontir as well. Yeah. That's Soontir.
Yeah. Scramble.
Yeah, I felt that one I felt favorable because my crew almost always runs Empire, so I'm very used to deal with Vader. The way to deal with Vader with Atlas is just make him bomb, so he doesn't have a lock. And the power of the triple arc is the amount of space that you occupy on the board and how Vader has really easy to read turn maneuvers, 4K or 3 talent. So the ability to block him is like critical in that matchup, but I was able to block him. I think he only got a lock once the whole game. I didn't kill it, but I was able to kill Tomax and Deathfire and Mauler, and I was able to win out of the objectives. Very good matchup, but yeah, I was back on track on the tournament after that one.
Yeah, blocking Vader that much and only having him block once per the entire game is generally a pretty good recipe to get the win from an Empire list.
Yeah, and I feel like he deployed Soontir too far, so he actually engaged after round 3 or 4. That was huge also. I was able to not take as much damage as I probably should have.
Sure. It looks like you ran into another Empire list in round 3. Rathos himself, looks like, running the triple sixes and the Black Squadron Ace, and that was in Chance.
Yeah. That was... Again, I flew a lot of against Jenden, so I felt good on that matchup. I was able to catch like four arcs, attack arcs on Jenden the first engage, and did most of the shields. And he left Axe on one HP, which was very unfortunate to him because I just ran away with an evade and we never saw Axe again. That was really, really sad.
Oh, he lived the rest of the game. Wow.
Yeah. And it was, how can I describe it? It was tough because I was able to kill the Black Squadron Ace in the most funny way possible. No mods. I roll with a torrent, hit crit, he blanks out. He had a focus, so he blanks out. He draws direct, and the TIE fighter dies for free, which is like, oh my god, that's very unfortunate. But yeah, I was able again to trap Jenden really well, and the fact that he brought Boy Bear was good for me because he wasn't able to like reposition and take the lock and the focus. So actually Boost danced with Vader a little because he was basically close to him, and when he did the barrel to block my Boost out if he wanted to lock me, and it's like, why don't you take the lock? I was super confused, and he told me he's Boy Vader. Oh, he's Boy Vader, that's why. If he was normal Vader, Boost is probably dead. Awesome. But yeah.
So going so far, getting two wins there. Looks like another win for round four. It doesn't look like we have their list. Do you remember your round four opponent once?
Your first assault matchup.
Assault. What's the name that you have on Robert? You have a name?
Just as Laconian.
Oh.
So it doesn't say, like, so we're, Will, I don't know if it says the real names for you since you were stream admin.
Oh, that's so
that might be, hold on.
They're cloning.
That sounds familiar.
I got it. Hold on.
Should be Brian Lurg. I think.
Oh, I'm trying to remember. Four.
Yeah, Brian Lurg.
Yeah,
maybe you can't remember. Not a big deal. I mean,
keep moving. It's all right.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Brian.
Yeah, it's all right. Yep. So,
yeah, no worries. You got the win. That's what matters.
Well, let's talk about round five because this one.
Yeah.
Now you're facing some beef here.
Yeah, Ryan was an amazing player. Incredible. It was Chance again, if I know. No, it was Salvage.
Five was Salvage, yeah, against this. What's a Han, a Kanan VCX, a Tycho, regular custom Tycho, and Sabine TIE Fighter. Wow.
Yeah. That was an amazing game, and the strategy behind it was great. So the idea is pick something, ionize it with the Ion Cannon turret from Kanan and the Ion Cannon from Tycho. And then when that thing is ionized, just kill it the next turn. Because with the Kanan shot, you do basically half. I mean, he did half of one arc and then ionize him into a cloud. And then he just kills it. And he did that like two turns in a row. So he basically killed Oddball. Then he killed Wolf like that. And left Jack on 2 HP or something. It was crazy. But the only thing I actually managed to kill was Kanan. I threw everything I can in. And basically, I traded two arcs for Kanan, which was like a point deficit, but I had like two or three boxes most of the game. And in the end, it was like a 20-19 score. It was crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, I was able, I think Tycho went through a cloud, got ionized, and he was unable to kill Jack. He was unable to finish Jack because he was going to run into the cloud again. And I think that was the deciding factor. Otherwise, I would have lost that game.
Wow, so a close one to finish off the first day.
Yeah.
But 4-1, though. This was your second Worlds event.
Yes.
I remember playing you last year, the previous year.
Yeah, this is my second Worlds. Last year I got 7 and 3, very close, but not close enough.
Okay.
So I was happy with getting so far.
Sure. I mean, you've been to these major like world qualifiers and stuff this year, so you knew that there was more to come for the second day. But
Oh yeah. And spoiler, I lost my first round of the second game, the second day as well.
It's like from Marco Tamlin running Republic. It looks, if I recall correctly though, and looking back up at the order of your opponents, this isn't going to be the last time you face him though.
No. As a
Well,
matter of fact, no.
what happened with game one? What happened in the unfortunate loss in Scramble?
So, Marco is bringing something very similar to me, except that he's bringing Mace Windu instead of a triple arc. Basically replaces Jack for Windu. And in Scramble, Jedis are just so powerful. The fact that they can just come in, take an objective, and then reposition is like, oh, sorry, reposition into an objective or take a lock, and heightened perception on Windu managed to kill a lot of my ships before they were able to shoot. In the end game, in the last round, he had all. So I had bo sorry, I had the objectives most of the time, 2-1, and then when Windu came in back to the fight, was able to capture both of, or three of them. So I was losing the damage, the point race at that point, and I was in. I killed the two arcs. And I think I managed to kill what's his name, Slider, by the end, but that wasn't enough. He had basically the three objectives 2 turns in a row, and that was pretty much it. But it was a really close game. I was technically supposed to lose that one even harder because Jack was on 1 HP, but I managed to survive the last shot. Otherwise, it would have been like a 25 to like 19 or something like that. But yeah, it was a really close matchup, and I mean Marco flew it like excellent. And that's when I looking back at my losses, I think I'm starting to see the trend, or like on my close games, I started to see the trend where one of my weak objectives is scramble. And I didn't notice that before coming to Worlds or like in any of my other events. By the fact that my ships are so slow. That once they're committed to one side, getting if my opponent gets the other side, then I'm just like screwed. So if AMG decides to leave the list intact, which I doubt they will, is something that I have to think about. How do I approach Scramble in the future?
That's good
Yeah, because
insight.
once any of your ships passes one of those buttons, then that's probably the last time they're going to see that button. So if your opponent gets the last tap on it, they're going to get it for the rest of the game.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's keep pressing on. Round seven faced off a Republic squad. This one, Double Falcon, Han
Rebel
Solo and
Squad.
Lando.
Yeah. With Boudica and Sabine.
That's Rebel.
Yeah, Rebel. What'd I say?
Said Republic.
Oh, well.
Oh.
Either way,
He said
double
Falcon,
Falcon.
sweet Rebel.
Yeah. And
This
this
was
one
in
was.
Assault.
Yeah. This one's special because my opponent was, in fact, Paul Larue, which is my is the opponent I was able to defeat to win the Vancouver. So it was a very enjoyable matchup. We were having fun the whole game, very exciting. I was able to kill Han again, traded Han for two arcs, and then I was able to have at the beginning I was able to get two, three objectives on assault just because my list is like a lot of ships. And by the end, the Torrents just were just trying to kill Sabine and being close to an objective, while Boudica was hunting down the last arc, and he was able to kill Jack in the end. but had no way for Lando to claim two objectives at the same time. And that was the deciding factor that got me the win for 1 point again. I don't
Wow.
know. I had like a four games that went for 1 point. It was, I mean, that close of the matches of incredible players.
So this would have been your first game after two losses. Going so basically after that second loss, you're kind of in elimination territory then.
Yes.
How have you been able to kind of roll with that pressure and still keep playing at a high level? Do you have any tips or secrets that you use to keep a level head?
I think I was again very lucky that I was facing someone familiar and that we actually had a good time playing. So I wasn't even thinking about being disqualified if I lost. And once I got that win, I felt with confidence to keep going. So I don't know if so when I got my second loss in a row, that did probably hit me. But I guess one thing that I could just that people have been advising me is like just relax, just breathe. You're playing a game. Don't think about anything else. Just look at the things at the table and just go do the things you have done through multiple games, I guess. And that did help a lot, like one play at a time kind of like
Sure.
mentality.
Yeah. One dial at a time, one shot at a time. That makes
Yeah.
sense to me. All right, cool. Well, we'll keep going on then to round 8 was against the Galactic Empire. Rak, Tomax, Deathfire, and Colonel Jenden. A list that, again, we'll see quite a few times.
Yeah.
And you drew chance against both the chance draws you had so far up to this point were both against Four Ship Empire, which a lot of times isn't easy. I think that's difficult.
Yeah, I think for Empires rough when they have a decimator because at least you get half points when you look at Rak a little. That game was close. Again, I was able to trap Jenden a little, so he didn't. I left it with 1 shield left, so on a half point threshold. So Jenden ran away for 2 turns. And in one of them, Rak decided to coordinate Jenden reposition so he was able to escape easier.
Wow.
And that turn, I just look at Rak with everything, and I was able to half her and deal a bunch of nasty crits. Basically, left Rak with 5 or 4 hull left. And they said the next turn, I was able to have like 4 shots at her, so the reinforce didn't really matter. Because I only had to like push 1 damage to with each of my ships, and that's what happened, and ended up killing Rak for and had like a 7 point lead from there, and I was able to kill Tomax as well, and Jenden survived, and was able to come into the fight, but that was the last round, and I lost. I think I lost Jack, and that was it. I think it was a pretty good matchup. For me, again, I'm pretty used to playing Empire, so I don't know if the matchup itself is like good for Republic or bad for Republic, but for me as a player, it was good because I had so many experience.
Sure, that makes sense. Well, here's something that you were worried about. And round 9 has to go against 5 T-70s.
Yeah, and
He's an
that's.
assault. Right? Yeah, it's assault.
Yeah, and that list is well equipped to deal with large bases. So we had, I think, double HLC and Nimi that's able to use her ability or his ability on blanks on the HLC, which was crazy. Yeah, that matchup basically, whenever I face resistance in my mind, is like I have to kill a T-70 as fast as I can. I don't mind trading 1 for 1 because by the end game I have more ships. So I went all in against Baba because that's what all my ships had for attacking. Maybe not the best one to shoot because you have R2-D2. And Baba was able just to like reroll her way out of death. But I was able to manage, I was able to get her to two hull. And then she repaired, and she was able to take the shield, a shield back with R2-D2, but that was all her charges. So the following turn, I was able to kill her without losing anything. And on that game, Jack got pretty injured. I think he had three left at, after the first engage. So almost trading one for one. And I used the trick of the cloud. I had a cloud in, like, Jack was here and the cloud was here. It was like, I had it on my right. So I was able to three heart in the cloud. He wasn't expecting that. So Jack was able to escape the whole game with three hull. So all the damage he invested on Jack was gone out of all of a sudden. And he had to like go in and try to do damage to Oddball and Wolf. And that was a little too slow for him to like take the win. After Papa died, I was able to kill Nimi. And I think that was it. That's the only two ships I killed. And he was able to kill the other two orcs, Oddball and Wolf. So we traded evenly, but I had the assault more times than he did. And that, that's what got me the win.
Those medium bases, I tell you.
Pretty yeah, good. Yeah.
Turns out.
The fact that Jack escaped and he was able to like capture one or two by running away was like very powerful. Assault is by far the best objective Republican.
I think we're all in agreement with them. So then we get to round 10, facing three-time world champion Paul Heaver. No slouch at the event. But the, so wait, you have two losses up until this point.
Yeah, he got the pair up.
Really? Yeah. So he's. Well, tell me what happened in this game. So Paul Heaver's in. He's only like 8-1 at this point. Then as well.
No, he is not guaranteed in. No, he had a draw. He was he had.
Oh, he was 7-1-1.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. It was possible for him not to.
No, I think he was. How was it?
He was 7-1-1.
It was all SOS based at that point because there was remember Nathan Idy was 7-1-2 or whatever, the 7 wins, 1 tie, 2 losses. And he didn't make it, but another 7 win, 2 losses, 1 tie did, being Grasser at 16.
And
Paul
also
was 15. Paul was 15 at that same amount. So
really? Okay.
I assume he played this out and didn't just concede just in case that like he didn't end up having SOS be the reason he makes it or not.
We did play it. He did offer me an intentional draw. But the math, the numbers didn't make sense to me. So I declined the intentional draw. So we did play the match out. And when once the pairings got up and I saw Paul Heaver's name, it's like, oh my God. I mean, I was a little, by that point, I was actually scared of having to face him. But I was able to like remain calm because my peers just, you know, a little like, come on, you got it, you can do it. And having your friends there is really, it sounds like cheesy and all, but having your friends and my wife there just hugging me, saying everything's going to be okay, was the deciding factor for me to not like misplay that game, basically. But yeah, I decided to play it out. We decided to play it out. For it was salvage again. A lot of salvage and a lot of chance, interesting enough, the hard ones. So salvage against 2 B-Wings again and Wedge. First engage, he is able to leave Wolf at 2 hull, I was going to say 3 hull, with the crit, like with a nasty crit. And I did probably a shield to Gina. That wasn't a good start. but the second round, I was able to like put all my guns into Gina and kill her. And I was able to block with Wolfite blocked Wedge's entrance, so he wasn't able to shot the APT. So Wolf died that engagement, but I was able to like kill Gina without losing too much holdback. So we were almost even on damage. Then Wedge comes in and APTs kickback and kills him. But the arcs were pretty healthy by that point. Then I was able to do like splash damage to both Braylon and Wedge to the point that they were limping on 3 HP or something like that. So the next couple of turns I was able to kill both and grab 3 boxes, which led me the win. I think the only thing that survived was the A-Wings, but I only lost Wolf and kickback on that game. And I was able to make it to the top 16, which I was really happy.
I am sure. Yeah, now you've been in top cuts before. So was there anything different about doing it at Worlds?
Yeah, I mean, the fact that you get to play with such skillful and amazing players and being able to say, I mean, I'm one of them. I mean, in my mind, right? Who knows?
You are, by the way.
But yeah, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, I had to beat Paul to make it in, and I was able to do it, and I felt like amazing. And shout-outs to Paul. He's just a really nice guy, amazing player. He gave me some – I asked him for some advice for day 3, and it's like – and he told me, like, just relax. Just do what you've been doing this whole tournament and this whole game. I mean, you're doing a good job, and that helped me also. So, yeah.
There you go, that confidence, and that you are correct. You just got to trust your gut, you know?
Yeah.
So moving on to the top 16. We did have you on stream against old Para, flying the Mandalorian, Fenrau, Dirt, and Cad Bane. Scum list. First one you faced for the whole event.
Yeah. And a really interesting list. Really unexpected. If I was rooting for Scum for sure, because that's one of my factions that I play. But I was thinking the 6-ship version was the one that had most chances to making it. So yeah, I was very surprised seeing like that, like the Mandalorian and Fenrau in like a 4-ship Scum list in top 16. It was like amazing. Shout outs to Opara. He did an amazing job. And he almost kills me. I could have drawn a direct, and I probably lost that game. really cool list. And the innovation with Cad Bane was really cool.
You know, this is... this actually might be the best time to shout, not to take away from your story here. But Olpar did reach out. We talked about his list last week. He did comment back on some things. So I just wanted to read what he said. This is verbatim, I assume, what he had wrote.
You want to do like a little bit of split read, get James and Marcel back in here?
Yeah. Can you guys read for us?
Someone take list choice, someone take comment on matchups.
Do your best old Power impression if you can.
Yeah. I'll do my best James impression. <Thank you. laughs> let's start with list choice. First off, he says, thanks for the shout out. And of course, we want to highlight people taking fun and strong off-meta lists here. He said that he really wanted to play with a smaller number of ships, but because he doesn't like the fact that most ships in the meta right now are 5 or more. I think the number he specifically quoted was 70% of lists are 5 ship, which was really boring, and I agree. But it was hard to make a solid 3-ship list, so he decided to go for a 4-ship list. Finn was the obvious choice for Opara as one of the best I6s in the game. The Rogues are tougher, cheaper, and more versatile than the other Fangs in their current iteration, their current configuration. And then we have Han, Dengar, or Mando competing for that last ship in the list, with the Mando surprisingly proving to be more useful in testing. The strengths of the list that Opar eventually went with was in its underrated jousting power. Finn plus Dirge, Proton Cannon plus Double Modded. Mando can destroy almost any ship in the game with a little bit of luck in that initial engagement. But that issue, the issue is the initial positioning, the approach, of course, aiming to get that bullseye cannon and actually getting Finn into range one of the ship, of the choice of target. I think this is the false transponder codes.
Yeah, it must be. Yeah. It must be something different in Polish.
Yeah. Yeah, the false transponder codes on Dirge, because he did also have it hiding under Mando. But on Dirge is mainly used as a support when Dirge needs to load the proton cannon at every other turn, or when I want to protect another ship, like when Finn gets in a bad position and is threatened with torpedoes, or just another ship is coming in with an advanced proton torpedo with a bunch of those running around right now. So Dirge comes to the rescue in that regard. How do you feel that, talking to Jorge, how do you feel that the some of the list or the vibe that you got from the list when you played against them?
I do agree with him that it's surprisingly really aggressive and can pull up so much damage outputs for four ships. It's like a four die gun, a three double modded, the magic five die double modded shot from Fen. It can kill almost every ship in the game. I guess in our first real engage, the problem was that Fen couldn't commit to range one of Jack without the risk of he just exploding from the other five shots that were looking at him. Four shots. So the fact that Jack was able to like not take that range one, he did take the proton cannons and the FTCs are useful, but my list just has tokens from other places and Jack gets the lock from other places. So both his offense and defense are not compromised by the FTC at all. So I felt that that gave me the edge, at least on that engagement.
Sure.
And then, I mean, the engagement happens. I was kind of lucky to, like, I think I suffered one or two shields from all those barrage of attacks. But even if I got half there, the fact that I just did a three bank and say hi to the Mandalorian to hawk him, and the fact that none of the ships had follow-up on Jack was really strong too. So he had to again go. So it's this fact that you go all in into an arc. If you don't manage to catch him back, you have to commit to another arc. And that may not be enough time in the game to actually fully kill all the things you're shooting into it. And the fact that I was able to block Mandalorian so his FTC wasn't even live. I think I shot him. And because of the child again, the lock, and that's what blew the FTC away. That was huge as well. No, but the list is really, really good. It's just a really bad matchup for that particular list. It's too much ships. It's too much health. It's too much token passing. The offense from those four ships might not be enough to like kill something.
Yeah, even if they're able to destroy one of the arcs in a good engagement, there's still two more and potentially like a barrage rocket or something like that, still coming in.
Yep. Which is actually a good segue into Maciej's comments about matchups too. He did elaborate a little bit on that, so I'm just going to read it a little bit. He said that he was comfortable jousting lists in general, that he's beaten jousters, that he beat most jousters that he met, except the last one, which, you know, of course, that's you, Jorge. And he's saying that the FOs I lost to were not jousting lists, and I lost to them, but they were not one-sided battles, and I think I had a 50-50 chance of winning them. In the battle, in the game against you, he says that he had some bad luck. In the last turn, it was 9-11 for you. And if Maciej had killed the Initiative 3 Jag Arc, he would have gained 2 points. Unfortunately, he didn't. He missed one damage and had plenty of opportunities. So he threw three. He just goes into like the dice variance there, mm-hmm. that kind of played into that. And so he says Fenn would have shot him despite being ionized in the last turn as well. So he's talking about just the different variance things that goes into it. Which again, every run. Including yours, Jorge, because you did have that roll off. We'll get into it in your top eight match against Grasser. But anyway, he goes into the variance. You know, you need some luck factor in it. But he wasn't able to kill, and so it ended being 9-13 instead of 11-11, which he thought it was able to get. So he thought he would be able to get the draw in that one. And then some of the tricks that he mentioned, that he says that we didn't mention when he was talking about it, was Ion Cad's bombs were sometimes used to ionize himself to help Mandalorian open his dial to a blue one bank, useful after one red stop.
Wow.
Actually, that's pretty interesting. I hadn't thought about that. So basically, Ion ionized your own Mando so that way he can do a one bank to clear
imagine you contraband stop and then drop a bomb on him the turn you stop.
No, that's interesting. Actually, I thought when he mentioned Ion on Cad, I thought he was gonna be saying, like, you know, you ionize one bank, back barrel roll into your own mm-hmm. Ion so that you can shoot someone and then pass off an Ion token and ionize the ship in front of you as well. I thought that's what he was going to go into.
I mean, you can. That's also a thing you can do. That's true.
You could do that. Yeah, you can. Cad can ionize himself with three ions and then throw one of them off to somebody else that he wants to.
When all Mando needs is a focus, if his ability is active, he doesn't care if he doesn't care if he's just getting a focus after the ion move anyway. So, and if it allows him to one bank, that's even better.
Yeah, but ultimately he says that most people just underestimated the jousting ability of Mando. Well, not just Mando, but Mando, Fenn, and then the Fordai Proton from Proton Rocket. No, it's not Proton Rocket. Proton Cannon?
TNN.
Proton Cannon.
Yep.
Yeah. There we go.
No, but, he's very powerful.
Just stuff, yeah. Very good. So thank you for your insight, Old Para. And I feel weird saying Old Para. I don't know what to call it, because...
He's younger than you.
You're the only one here who knows how to say his name, right? So,
oh well, no, he actually he's older than me, but he looks younger than me. He's
well, keeps, that's true.
Keeps himself well. Yeah. Well, thank you.
No, I really do.
I'm not allowed to say bad words, but I can give you like the look.
Please don't. But no, that was actually great feedback, because we were, as you can imagine, Jorge, fascinated by this list, showing us what we were doing wrong in Scum and what maybe we should be doing instead. And it's classic Control, as you can imagine. Scum doing Scum things. But let's keep moving on. We got a couple more matches here. This would have been top eight then, facing off against a Empire list. What was this, Grasser?
Yeah, it's Grasser.
Yes. Grasser. Okay.
I wasn't
Scramble.
Familiar with his name.
Yeah, so the thing, the list is Rack, Deathfire, the new Site 6, and Ferrof, and Tomax. in Scramble again. So the objective story repeats again. I'm able to control two or three very consistently at the beginning, but by the end game, I don't have any, or maybe I have only one. So Rack, I really like how he played the matchup. Basically, both Deadfire and Psy-6 were following Rack as if it was a planet and they were like the moons. They were surrounding Rack. So I guess what he really wanted was to drop the bomb in a good spot with Deadfire. And I guess he was waiting for everything to be on that big Rack lane where nothing can really pass because you're stressed and you cannot get it out. And Ferrov is there, like punching you. And then Deadfire and Psy-6 can actually come in safely and start shooting. I really like that. He was able to kill two Orcs, and I was able to kill Ferrov and Tomax. So we were basically even on points. I think he had one more point for killings, but I had the objectives. I had the objectives at the beginning more, but by the end, he had all of them. He had the three objectives. So my only win condition was killing Ferrov, and it had a single damage left with an evade force. So with a butt shot from Oddball, I needed two paints to kill her, and I was able to show that result. And when we were doing the math, I knew we were tied, but I don't know if he knew. He was doing the numbers and he's like, looks like we're tied. And we didn't know what was gonna happen. So we waited for the judge and like a minute or two, and then he comes back and says it's gonna be a road roll. And it's like, okay. I mean, before I do the road roll, I say to him, like, very well flown and whatever, no matter what happens, it was an amazing game. So we roll it off and he rolls two eyeballs and a hit, I think. And I roll like blank hit and a crit. And I just shout like, yeah. And it was like insane. I mean, I could have lost there. And if we left the round go one more turn, he wins by objectives alone. So yeah, I mean, really amazingly flown. Really show me something that I haven't seen in Empire before, which is patience with your pieces. I normally see that the fires go all in, like three straight to get into that bombing lane, then the three bank throw. But this death fire was one straight, one straight, one straight. Really patient. And when he felt a joust was coming, he is like, nope, three hard away, drop the bomb and get the objective. Very cool stuff, man.
All right. I mean, it sounded like it was an awesome game.
Yeah, but again, that scramble being like my I did win it, but I could have easily lost it, and with the same problems. By the end, I don't have the buttons, basically.
Yeah, boost can only boost so much, you know. Well, we see now the return of Marco. But this time it seems the revenge of Swiss had come back to rue his day. Ruin his day.
Could try and run from it, hide from it. Revenge of Swiss will always get him.
It was salvage this time. So my thought process on salvage against Sabine as well, Sabine and objective grabbers, is like, if I kill the objective grabbers first, then the list starves because the other pieces really want their actions. So I was able to catch boost first on a joust and I kill it. Then I was able to catch slider on a joust and I kill it. And I had and boost then was able to get a box. And I think it was boost and wolf, and that's it with boxes. But I was winning 2 points a turn and he wasn't winning points. And that got me into a big of a lead, like probably like 4 or 5 point lead. And then Mace came in and started killing stuff as he does. Really good, really, really amazing piece. But no boxes. And then I was able to kill Wolf. So I killed Oddball Wolf and the C95s. And that was it. But that got me like, I think 15 points or something like that. And he was able to kill a Torrent and Oddball. And that was it. And the only one with a box was the Y-Wing Broadside. But he grabbed that box after probably round four. So he wasn't able to keep up with me on the objective race. And that was like the key to like winning that matchup in general.
Interesting.
And I tried to do that with Sabine too. When a rebel player overcommits Sabine, I say like, let's just kill her. So, and that way you don't get the points for free. And that maybe gets me the edge on the matchup.
I think it's people get oddly surprised when I commit a decent amount of my forces to go disrupt or take out their like 2-point objective. They're like, it's only 2 points. I'm like, yes, I'm making sure it's only going to get you. It's only going to be 2 points ever. It's never going to knock you. Like, it's never going to constantly tap 1 point every single turn for the rest of this game because I don't go after.
Yeah. Every turn, area. Every turn I don't destroy it is costing me a point.
Yep. So as long as my ships that go get that type of objective carry have the speed to come back around and help contribute the rest of the game, I'm pretty happy.
Yeah.
I would Lulo and Snap go disrupt / take out that objective carry, then you guys can come back later. But yeah. So Hori, one other thing too, because this was a rematch. What were some key things you learned about game one that you brought into game two that you felt was a good learnings experience applied to this game to help you win your game?
Yeah. So this, I mean, facing Marco was the first time I was facing Republic. I remember my assault game. It was a Republic list. It was a Padme Anakin list. But this was the first time I was facing a six ship Republic list. In our first game, I killed both Oddball and Wolf, but that took me longer than I wanted to. And that gave Mace enough time to get in and start killing stuff. So I guess the thing I learned is that I have to close the game as quickly as I can. So the end game with Mace is not that bad. So they're able to tank a few shots before we're able to close it out. And the easiest targets in salvage, luckily enough, were the C95s, because on assault they can run away, and it's like you don't really want to commit to something that can actually run away. But with the boxes, they cannot really do anything. They're very committed to go for them, so it was an easy prey for the arcs. And also kill the arcs for sure. But spend one turn or two to kill those little things really helped me out in the end. But yeah, again, if we have two more turns, I think Mace just cleans us up, and I don't know if I lose the game, but it would have been really close.
Well, coming off of an exciting rematch, you find yourself back on the stream table. Where you started the day. Can you describe that feeling of the crowd forming around you, right? Like you've made it, played 3 days of X-Wing to get to this moment.
Yeah, it was unreal. I couldn't believe it myself. I don't know. Since I was in the mindset of just one more game, one more play, when everyone was like, I noticed it in the game. In the top four game, everyone was screaming when Paul Heber lost the road roll for the win, and it's like, oh my god, this is real. I basically, we, I mean, a little side note, we didn't have a lunch break. We were supposed to have one, but it's like, nope, we have to go now, and it's like, oh my god, and he's like, wow, the final. Again, my friends and my wife, amazing support. You can do it. You got it. Amazing. I felt amazing having all that support. But yeah, I mean, just rush in, get into the table, start setting up. The six arcs on the table, good luck. We were doing the tokens, like we didn't have enough
Oh,
for
the
everything. It's like,
collars, yeah.
yeah. Can you use your shields? Can you use
Yeah,
this?
it was chaotic at the stream table, but
Yeah, we can talk a little about having that many ships on the table on a very important game. We basically didn't touch anything. It's like, nope, I don't want to touch it. Judge, please just do this for me, please. No, felt amazing. I would have loved to have a 15-minute break to like chill, especially after the road roll, especially after winning against Marco, who had beat me before. I was feeling a little ugh, but managed to pull it together and start playing. That game again, scrambled.
Scramble, as
And
we come
yeah, but
to
this
realize here.
a little different this time because a slider just nullifies my objective grabber,
Sliders
and
initiative
that,
4 versus your 3.
yeah. And normally that's fine. And so I think salvage is okay, in assault is fine, and it's scramble where all the benefits that boosts have just mean nothing against slider. Really, I mean, really interesting realization. Because I didn't face that much Republic coming into the final table, so very few experiences with slider. But yeah, I mean, that was slider was definitely one of the key differences from the game, at least on that objective. I go in my mind, in when I was setting up, is like I need to kill an arc as fast as possible because my firepower is better than the Y-wings. Like Torrents have more firepower, so I have to come in, kill something really fast, and by the end I'll be able to catch the objectives and maybe win the game. But my first engage didn't go as I wanted to. Kickback was not enough, was not in range to take a lock, which was huge. Axe wasn't in range to shoot at the target I wanted, so I had to split fire, and that was basically the doom of that was the story of the game. Me splitting fire because I didn't have good shots at whatever I wanted to kill, and by the end I had like 3 arcs on 2 HP, 3 HP, but they are running away, and most of my stuff is damaged too. And behind 2 objectives almost every turn. And by the end, I think it was all of them.
There was a turn of th all three, yeah.
Yeah. So it was a little, I was leaning into hope that maybe if I can kill the Ark this turn, I can turn it around. Or maybe if I get first player, I can turn it around. But as we saw, that didn't happen. But I mean, I cannot be upset because that's the naturally my list is weaker on scramble against the mirror match, but I feel more comfortable in the other ones. So I mean, it's a trade-off I had to make when I was building the list, basically. Specifically boost over slider. I love boost. He did incredible job my 14 games that I played. But that last game, he did nothing, and it feels kind of sad because I love him. But yeah, I mean, then it was a pretty decisive victory from Elias, and he played it really, really well. I cannot be mad or upset. It was a great match.
Sure. I mean, you, as a note, you were first player, which we knew coming into the final game. Mirror match, a lot of overlapping initiatives, especially with the arcs. That road was going to be very key. You did have an extra I5,
I
but
did have
it,
kickback, yeah.
that was about the only thing you really had. An advantage in.
Yeah, and it's an i5 that really wants to his action. He really wants the
Right.
lock. Otherwise, he can die or be like useless. All my objective grabbers were 3 points basically versus his all fours. Like the the smash tick, wolf and slider four versus my boost axe i3s. And yeah, it's really telling about my weaknesses. My initiative is one of the big weaknesses of the list.
I mean, I still thought you played as well as you could, despite the many disadvantages that you had. Marcel, Brian, any questions about the final game, or maybe some of the matchups or anything that we didn't cover?
Well, on the final game, the only question mark that I had tactically was round two, like the second round when your slider was facing, no, I mean your boost was facing his slider, and you boosted in to shoot at the Y wing. Well, wondering why you didn't roll back out to shoot range one at the slider that had zero, because you had the Predator and the Focus, and he was unmodded because he had pressed the button. So I was wondering, because I thought that if you boost in there, then you can scare Slider away by, again, a three die modded shot, double modded shot versus unmodded, and then also a two hard after that keeps you pressing the button a couple more times to keep Slider honest. So I think tactically that was the only, because other than that, like they said, like having initiative every round, really hurt you. And then some of the variants early on was more one-sided, which you can't really rely too much on that. But tactically, I think that was probably the only question mark I had in my head. So maybe I'll ask that is why did you choose to go into the Y-wing instead of coming into
Yeah.
Slider and staying in that edge a little longer?
Yeah, it's probably one of the things I could have, if I could go back in time and do something different, I would definitely try to go in for the Hail Mary direct hit it great into blank direct hit. But I think he, how can I, in on the average, I do 2 damage, which is the shields, and then I do hard press it, then slider 3 banks or 3 straights, press it again, because I didn't have the 3K. It would have gotten me out of the board. And then when I do probably a 2 hard, like a 1 bank to press it, then he can do the slider thing and press it again. So if I don't kill slider, then boost is not doing anything. So I again 100%, if I can go back, I would take the risk and hope a Hail Mary and one shot him out of the game. But I think even if I do go for it and I do 2 shields, I think Slider still have the tactical advantage over me because he can do the side slip and can basically ignore me. And Boost doesn't have that kind of reposition to press the button and then boost, because if I have to do a 2 hard, then the boost is offline on the engagement phase. So I wasn't feeling great there, and I guess in my mind it's like, now that I have to split fire, if I do, I shot with kickback first to the Y wing, is it, and I was, if I do 3 shields, then I have a realistic good shot at killing Broadside, because Jack was also looking at him. So it was like eight dice at him, or left him limping, and maybe I can get an edge there. But I mean, kickback whiffed and did nothing really, I think, or did a shield, and so my plan went that way. It's like, okay, so that way doesn't matter. Yeah, it's basically the fact that even whatever I do, a slider can just get the point and be out of arc of me in 99% of the situations.
Yeah, and that initiative is rough.
Yeah.
Ryan, James, any questions before we move on to some Republic-specific questions?
I had one question. So what did you have more fun doing? Streaming with me on the Last Chance Qualifier or actually playing in the event?
That's right.
I
You
had
did
a
stream with James, didn't you?
Yeah.
yeah. I took a break on the on Thursday. I had a blast streaming. We actually have been talking locally, and we want to try to do something like that, like record one of our day, like our game nights, and try to record over it. So I'm really interested in doing that. So I was very happy streaming with you. It's kind of hard. I would say playing, but by very little. I really enjoyed commentating.
Yeah, I mean you'd be
Yeah, we really,
surprised the quality you can get with just like a selfie stick and like a nice phone can get enough content, but you do have to like go back and like maybe comment over it. But the setup to get the video though, at first it could be very simple. It doesn't have to be anything fancy.
Yeah,
Okay, congrats.
it looks really complicated when you look at
We've been
either
doing it for like seven
XF
years and
or
traveling all around the world. So yeah,
because yeah,
we have an
but we
elaborate
slowly
setup.
tacked yeah we slowly just tacked things on the same way that you that we're that we're suggesting here is like we did the video and then we did the streaming or we did the commentating with it and then we did the dice box and then we did it was so we start slowly added everything on and it's just been years and years, and thankfully I didn't have to do any of that hard work. I just get to inherit.
No, that was
No,
all Dion.
and props to you, James. I saw everything that goes behind the scenes, and it's crazy. This
It's
button
a lot. It's a.
here.
It
Yeah.
looks like we're just watching TV, but it was
No,
hanging out with our friends.
I will
But
tell you,
there's.
I am pro the streamers are probably just as tired as the players are after after that 5 round days. So yeah, I think I had you on for round two. So I think we had I think it was round two. So I think we had mostly gotten all the kinks out from the start of the day. So yeah, I really enjoyed having you on
No,
and
thanks.
definitely I think we'll be doing hopefully we'll be doing Golden State again, so definitely excited to see you there again.
Yeah, absolutely. I promise Kenneth that I was gonna face him again, round five.
Okay,
It's
all
our
right.
tradition.
Fair enough, fair enough. Yeah, I mean, if you don't know, you Jorge, play a lot on our Discord. If you, the audience, not you, Jorge.
Oh.
Anyway, but we've oh, I do.
Mm-hmm.
But it has been a great like meeting you, playing with you. We played in the Last Chance qualifier. You beat me handedly last year. But it's been a fun ride. So we, of course, we were rooting for you as an American or someone representing America. But I would say you're also our friend as well. So
Oh.
we were trying not to be as biased during the final,
Yeah,
for
I
it.
can imagine.
Yeah, there are definitely games where I put myself in a certain player's shoes that I'm rooting for. I was definitely
Start
rooting.
saying we a lot. We're like, oh man, we really got to get those extra points. And it was like,
Yeah,
no,
we gotta get
the player needs to get the
the
extra points.
player. I don't know how we're gonna come back from this. But yeah, we were definitely rooting for you to bring it home for North America. But
Yeah, they're
unfortunately
so unprofessional. So unprofessional.
unfortunately the Europeans are just too good at winning that last game, the game
Yeah,
that
thank
matters.
you. Yeah,
Fair enough. All
we'll
right,
get them next year.
I mean there's always next year, right? We got three time
Yeah.
winner Paul on our side, so well, he's
Yeah.
maybe we'll maybe share some of the world championships, Paul. How kind of him to do it this year. We're gonna wrap up with some Some Republic going forward questions. Why don't you take the lead on this, or Ryan?
So, as someone who has played Republic extensively for the past year plus, where do you see Republic faction going from here after Worlds? So, if you're talking to average Republic player, should they just pick up your list and play it? Should they, like, what are the core pieces you would tell them they should be playing, and what are the things they should be testing to maybe smooth out parts and pieces they want to bring? Because clearly, I mean, we saw some other people had some success with some or both of the Y-Wings. You had your success with both the Torrents. So where would you steer a Republic player in the foreseeable future?
With the current point system, I would gear them towards six ships, no matter what flavor you want. If you want 3 ARC or if you want 2 ARC, Republic is one of the few factions that has a lot of amazing 3-pointers. So you can really mix and match whatever you really want to do. I can count like 6 or 7 out of my mind. Like 7 3-pointers that are actually good is really strong. So I know like the difficulty level of flying 2 versus 3 ARCs is like big. So if you're not comfortable with big bases, I would recommend 2 base and 4 small ships. You can do the Torrents with the Y-Wings. That's something I want to test. Or you can do the B-Wings. You can do Stop, which Stop's still one, like the best C-95 ever. You can do even Oddball in the... No, but you shouldn't do that. But I mean, yeah, I guess you can. Oddball in the B-Wing with plasmas is amazing for 3 points as well.
We saw it do very well at Worlds.
Yeah, also the 7-point version is actually really neat. That's something also to look out for. But in general, I think 5 for Republic is not enough. You need to go for 6. And just test whatever you feel comfortable with. 3 ARCs is really strong for sure. But... even 2 ARCs and mace, I think, doesn't really count as triple arc. So I think that's a really good list to give it a shot and start working with. Marco did an amazing job building that list. It's really strong.
Yeah, mace was our sleeper hit of the whole tournament, or at least the cut, which is like, man, why are we not playing that mace? What are we doing?
I am definitely. Committed to putting mace down on the table more often. That's on me. I feel bad because I actually like mace a lot, and I haven't been flying him a ton. So
for shame.
Yeah, Luminara takes that spot too often. So she needs to share the light a little bit.
She's on 5 points with that 7B though.
Well, yeah, she's the CLT, but yeah, the 4-point mace in the. Right. No. Oh, it's 5-point.
5 for 7B. That's 7B. What we were saying before. That he gets the discount. Most of them are 6 right. or 4 yeah. to 6 or 5 to 7 or whatever. Mm. But he gets the 1 discount. Yeah.
5 for 3/4. The ability to 4-5K into an action, high temp perception, I-7.
K turn and get a calculate and a target lock on top of the free calculate you got at the start of the round. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of tools in Mace's toolkit there that I think could make him a more versatile piece on the table.
Well, speaking of good pieces, and let's talk maybe some good and bad pieces. We're looking now at a big tournament, and we're expecting a points change, a major change at any time. Is there anything you expect to see nerfed or buffed for Republic?
Yeah, as much as I love my little clones, they're being overperforming, to say the least. For me, it's only 3 changes, and I hate 2 of them. One of them is perfectly fine. For me, Oddball has to go to 5.
Oddball Arc,
yes. Oddball has to go to 5. Force Shield, Selfless, I-5, Barrel
with
into a lot.
R4P.
Yeah. with BTG, so double tapping, is we were sleeping. I think it's still even playable at five in some lists. But yeah, it's, I think Oddball is the most represented piece for Republic, if I'm not mistaken.
I imagine so.
Yep, that's correct.
So yeah, I mean, that's the easy one, and I don't have problems with that. Oddball is really, really good. The ones that are maybe a surprise is I don't think three arcs and on a six ship this should be allowed. Not for the fact that it's so strong, is the fact that it occupies too much board space, and it makes this very messy game state. I don't know if you remember, Marcel, you and I played in LBO, and it was a mess.
I had five ships, and you had six.
Yeah, so but there were five arcs on the table, and we were like...
Yeah, two of mine in 3 years, yeah.
Too hard. I mean, we had to call a judge for like two
times. I think we played only four rounds, I think.
Yeah.
It was very messy game, yeah. It was fun game, but very messy game.
Yeah, and in the final did show, it's like, if I make a slight mistake moving an arc, I basically compromise the whole game state. So I have to call the judge on every move. So in order to fix that, I feel like the C95s have to go back to three. That way, if you want to play triple arc, there's no way you can fit three additional ships. And that may make people go away from that archetype. You can still run two with, I think the Jack Wolf and 4 3 pointers still good and fine, but three is too much. We need to dial it down a bit. But other than that, Republic is in a good spot. I wouldn't touch the 3 pointers. The Y-Wings, I think you can do two things with the Y-Wings. You can either, I think every other Y-Wing has 7 loadout on average. So if you want to bring a bump, you have to go to dorsal. You can go do that, or you can buff the rest of the Y-Wings so they can also bring a bomb and an iron cannon. I would like the other better, honestly. The fact that the Y-Wings are seeing table play, for me, it's like amazing. Please.
Yeah, I do love seeing the Republic Y's in the table.
Yeah.
Jorge, I think you can still... You can still accomplish what you're looking for if even just one Z95 goes up back to three. Because if your oddball goes to five and you can't get two Z95s for 2 points and you only get one for 2 points, then after taking a 5 point oddball arc, a 4 point jag, 4 point wolf, and a 2 point Z95, you're left with 5 points left and you don't have another two in the faction. So you would have to do a 5 point ship at that point.
Yeah, you can also do normal oddball. That one has to go to five as well.
That's true. The custom oddball. Oddly enough, SSC oddball overshadows custom oddball by a mile, but I think custom oddball might still be good at four, even if SSC oddball goes up to five.
Yes, absolutely. I5 BTG, you can still get BTG and R4P, which is more than enough. And you'll be surprised how much times you barrel into a bullseye magically. And you get the
so that's a lot about nerfs. What would you like to see buffed, get something that's not getting enough table time?
I feel like I will voice every Republic player I have talked to. People want to see Jedis on the table again, so I think both Suck Anakin and 7B Anakin overshadow everything else except Mace. So I would give a little buff to the Jedis. I don't know how exactly. For the 7Bs, I would put the I5s to 6 points. So basically you could run Delta 7B, Obi, or Plo Koon at 6. And do the I4s and I3s to 5 points so you can run Ahsoka or whatever you want. I don't think four Delta 7B Jedis is like oppressive, especially the low initiative ones at least. So you can do that. Okay. And give the It has a little more loadout, so they're feasible at four. Right now, I think it's like if you're not bringing Siege of Horus and Anakin, you're not bringing any Eras, which is really sad.
Or you're paying 5 points for them, and they're still not doing what a Jedi or an Aether Sprite could do at 5 points.
Yeah, and you cannot do any of them at 3 points because we have seen that 3 point Jedis are. So just give them more loadout so they can get a shield and they can get a good cannon. They can get a good force ability. They can get Predator. At I4, I don't see that as like very oppressive.
Yeah, you're talking
And
like
that
Kit Fisto and
the
the mid initiatives.
Shakti, yeah.
Oh, sure.
My lats are sad at your answer.
Oh, also lats, yeah.
No,
Sorry.
you got Barrage Sicko. Come on, he's got Saturation Salvo.
Oh,
You're fine.
Mastico. I love
You're
Mastico, but
fine.
the other guys are good too. I want a boosty wolfy lat.
I think
No, is it which one's the boosty one? There's a
Hawk.
boosty lat. Hawk,
Hawk,
there you
Hawk,
go.
I4.
I want a boosty lat.
I do love Hound because it synergizes with kickback really well. It just absorbs all the bad things.
Yeah, you can do kickback's entire combination and pull the strain over to Hound so kickback can still share that evade or use it for himself, no problem.
Oh, I guess also the torrents. All the torrents right now are all the non-stock ones are useless. So I personally would give all the torrents barrage rockets.
Glamour.
There you go.
Yeah, Slammer is solid.
Four
I mean,
points, you
I can
better
take
get a
barrage
Barrage
rockets right
Rocket.
now. It just happens to be I1. So good
Yeah.
luck holding onto that focus.
I would say that the 7Bs, I just can't believe that the initiative fives aren't 7 points. I think putting them down to six would, like you said, would be a positive change in a good direction, because I just when I compare them to, like, let's just like compare like 7 point like Adi to like Luke and like boy Luke,
Or Nien
Yeah.
Nom.
or Nien
Or
Nine
just
Nom.
starter Vader, right?
Starter
Like starter
Vader,
Vader is
jeez.
6 points.
Initiative six, three force, recharging, three agility. It's just insane.
Twice a game, double reposition, just like any
And
other Jedi would.
three agility, same health. Yeah, I
Maybe
think.
that Vader should be seven, but that's
Well, well,
But
maybe
I
everything
think
should go up a point.
yes, but I think those 7Bs definitely could come down a point.
Yeah.
Need more Jedi on the table.
Jorge, if you had one wish of something you want to happen in the Republic faction, whether buff, nerf, or something that
Yeah,
it's
throw balance to the
maybe a new
winds here.
design.
Just
Who
whatever.
knows?
I would love to see the Marauder from the Bad Batch. I love that show, so I would let it be Scum Republic, even Empire. Like you have like three factions into a single ship, and oh, that would be amazing. Have an
I think I actually just saw someone post on post like a fan made one for the Marauder, and they did a three faction Republic Scum and Rebel.
Who would be the
Yeah.
pilot for it? Who flies the thing?
Everyone.
Yeah, at
All.
some point,
they
yeah.
yeah they
They
even
all
they even
fly?
had an o they even had an Omega version on there, which is really
Oh,
cool.
that's awesome.
I meant like in the show, like who flies, not in the Reddit post. I don't care.
No, like
Oh, it's
literally
mostly
all of
tech.
them.
Yeah, it's
Oh,
mostly
wow.
tech, but all of them do fly it at one point or
I
another.
guess tech is the obvious choice there.
Yeah.
That makes
Just
sense.
assume that like as many of the pilots you see that are piloting the Ghost or the Phantom in Rebels is like how they do with Bad Batch.
Yeah. It's
Okay.
Also,
mostly tech, but they all do pilot it.
I
this
think
Bad
Empire
Batch
also has it,
season
right?
is really good.
Yeah.
What'd you say, Ryan?
This Bad Batch season is really
Oh,
good.
it's rampant. It's ramping up.
No
But
spoilers, but
yeah,
yeah, very good. Highly
last two
recommend.
episodes have been very sad. My wife and I were just like, we just want to really have something uplifting, and it was that. And I was like, man,
Well,
I need.
we're here to set the damper mood here, sir. You
Yeah.
have to understand the atmosphere and how bad this is.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about it. But now I'm fascinated.
Yeah, well, I do recommend it 100%. You should watch.
Like, Omega turned me off. I liked all the Bad Batchers, so Omega turned me off. And then Tech was acting weird at first. I didn't like Tech at first either. So, but now I understand why he was so weird. Crosshair? What?
Crosshair? We're not liking Crosshair?
Yeah, he's fine. Most of them are fine, but I don't know. I don't know. I am a novice at the old Bad Batch, so don't take my opinion worth anything. Anyways, Jorge, we're so glad you came to join us, talk about the rum. We're so proud of you. You should be proud of yourself as well. It's an amazing accomplishment. I mean, honestly, you've had such a great year that culminated in such a wonderful finish, getting to that final table of Worlds. So I just wanted to... give you the floor. Any thank yous, any shout outs you have that you want to recognize?
I would say thank you to everyone at the event. When the final table finished, I could see a lot of people that I have played with this past 4 years hugging me, saying good job. And it was very heartwarming. It was really, I don't know. All those matches led me to this place, and I've been managed to do friends while doing this journey, and not just like being like win-win-win. Is having a good time, and I'm happy that everyone came and say hi and give me a hug and stuff. It was really good. My crew, my teammates, they helped me a lot with practices, setups, rock placement, a lot of matchups, and my wife as well. She has always been with me. I mean, she enjoys being there, watching me win and watching me play and getting excited. I don't know. Her support for me is almost everything.
How do you? I've seen her at a couple events now. How did you describe the game to her when you first took her to an event? By the way.
We played, so that's how she sort of learned the game. We played 2 times, and sometimes I do no voice most of the time when I play online. So on those, I show her, oh, I'm doing this, I should do this, I'm going to do this. And that's how she basically understood, how the game is played. She doesn't really like fully understand the abilities and the pilots. She knows the movements. And she knows the life, and if you take many damage is bad, and if your ship dies without trading something is bad, and so stuff like that. But yeah,
but how did you describe that? Like, we're going to Las Vegas and we're gonna hang out in a room with 300 or 400 people for 12 hours. She did bring I saw her bring a chair for Las Vegas. She was thinking ahead there. But
yeah, Amazon, really good to share, by the way. I don't know. It's, I mean, I have asked her to join me, and it's like, we've been lucky to get 1 or 2 days off. So in the Las Vegas one, we actually had 2 days to explore the city. So we made a trip out of it. In also in Chicago, we also took 1 day off, and we were doing some tourism before Worlds. So that's a good way doing, like, convincing her. I mean, she has always been for the ride. Doesn't matter what happens. So I don't know. She enjoys the energy, and the crew. I mean, everyone's really social. So she gets to meet other people in all the events, which is interesting. Oh. Everyone's so welcoming, and they say hi, and they just start the conversation and everything.
Well, now she's probably jaded. She's like, yeah, yeah, or is at the final table again. Whatever, no. I guess. Like, guess we'll be here for a third day. No, no, I just asked because...
all the way to the end, huh?
Yeah, I guess still here, third day, still watching. No, I...
I promise her no trips until later. So.
Sure. I just asked because there's a lot of people who are not as fortunate and maybe could take some of that advice. The make a day for them.
I'm over here taking notes on your what you were saying.
Yeah. Make a day for them. That's smart thinking. We're used to just day in X-Wing, day out X-Wing. No need for anything else. But that's smart thinking ahead.
The sweet spot is one day before and one day after the event.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Solid advice. It is really helpful. I don't mean disrespect when I say that she is your caddy, but it is nice to have someone there, like looking after you, making sure you have what you need. So I'm sure you don't
miss anything.
Well, yeah. So I'm sure that her support had to have been a major factor in your performance.
100%. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, again, we thank you so much for coming. For everybody listening, we're of course live every Wednesday, and hopefully here I will be planning some more events in the future. Be on the lookout for that. We can't announce anything yet, but I really want to, but not for the for at least a while. I just gotta stop talking. So I'll do something else. It's just thank you again.
Yeah. It just hit him with the old Wilshick MOAR more.
More. That's more. That's all I can say. And more. But I lost my train of thought now, but it doesn't matter because we're getting out of here. Thank you so much. It was the YouTube videos. I'm working on the YouTube videos. Turns out 20 something hours of content is a lot to start digging through. So it's going to take me some time, but be on the lookout for that. We're going to start with the Wilshick interview and then start moving on. We might do it weird, James. Is it too crazy to just do the cut games first and then go back to the like LCQ and Swiss days? Is that too crazy? I'm springing this on you right now.
I would probably say...
You want chronological?
I would say chronological, but... I mean, if you want to go and do Last Chance Qualifier last, we can do that. But I would say don't do the out of order.
I shouldn't start at the finals and then...
No, work backwards.
Work backwards. I shouldn't work backwards. People were like, why are they laughing at that? That's not even funny. And then it was because it's referencing a game we made or a reference from a different thing 3 hours ago or whatever.
Yeah. If anything, we should watch the games.
You don't like how George Lucas made his movies.
Yeah.
Top
if,
four.
If anything, we watch the games backwards. We start at the end of the game and we go forward in all reverse. Right.
Well, now we're just getting silly. So, of course, that's time for us to go. Like I said, for everybody watching, listening, we love you. Stay safe. Stay smart. Gold Squadron out.
Thank you to ISO, Danko, Baffle, Trojan, Prophet, Shadow, Tycho, Spice, Raider, Lancer, Fallen, Row 6, 626, Chief, and Jay List, our Grand Admiral patrons. And all of our Gold Squadron patrons and community members, thank you for your support. Gold Squadron out.